Would you take your Bibles this morning and open with me to Mark chapter 8? And I made a mistake and put the wrong verses up at the very top. It should be 14 through 21. That's my fault. And we are going to be in verses 14 through 21 today. Mark chapter 8, beginning in verse 14. Let's read that together. The disciples had forgotten to bring bread, except for one loaf they had with them in the boat. Be careful, Jesus warned them. Watch out for the yeast of the Pharisees and that of Herod. They discussed this with one another and says, is it because we have no bread? Aware of their discussion, Jesus asked them, why are you talking about having no bread? Do you still not see or understand? Are your hearts hardened? Do you have eyes but fail to see and ears but fail to hear? And don't you remember when I broke the five loaves for the 5,000? How many basketfuls of pieces did you pick up? 12, they replied. And when I broke the seven loaves for the 4,000, how many basket pieces did you pick up? And they answered, 7. And he said to them, do you still not understand? That's the title for today's message. Do you still not understand? I think it's critical because when you stop and think about it, these disciples were literally, physically with Jesus. They'd seen him do amazing things over and over again. And they would continue to see these things in the time that was left for Jesus to be here on this earth. And in the midst of all of this, Jesus asked some simple questions. And they get all confused. They don't know exactly what to say, not knowing what to answer. And it's amazing to me because they were right there in the physical presence of Jesus Christ. They were listening to him. They were with him. They saw what he was doing. They had experienced miraculous things over and over and over and over again. And yet they still didn't quite get it. And it kind of resonates with me that many of us have known who Jesus is. We've read his word. We've experienced him in our lives. We've seen him do mighty things. And yet there's still times in our own life when we don't quite get it. We don't really completely understand what God is trying to do and say in our lives sometimes. Well, if you have your outline, I just want to begin at the very top of it and say in verses 1 through 8, Jesus takes 7 small loaves of bread and a few small fish, and he feeds 4,000 men and their families. And in verse 8, the disciples collect the leftovers, and they amount to 7 baskets full. And in verses 11 and 12, Jesus was confronted by the Pharisees. We looked at this last week. They demand that he perform some miracle to prove to them that he really is the Messiah. Jesus refuses to play their game in verse 13 and simply leaves them standing there while he and his men get into the boat and sail away. And so that brings us to our text today. Verse 14 finds Jesus and his disciples on a boat sailing across the Sea of Galilee. And while they're crossing the lake, the disciples still have their minds on bread. They realize that they've forgotten to bring along any bread for themselves. I can imagine their thoughts. Oh, brother, we had 7 huge baskets full of bread back there and we forgot to bring any with us. Now we are hungry and we don't even know and have enough bread to feed even one of us. Isn't that just like us? Many times we are so focused on the here and now, we fail to see what God is in the process of doing all around us. Let me just start by saying this morning. God is at work all around you and all around me. Every single day, all the time, all day long, God is at work. And he's doing amazing things in people's lives if we'll just stop and see it. You know, we kind of get in a fast-paced mode, don't we? We got this to do and that to do, and we got to be there that by a certain time. And you know, it's almost like we have to live our life on some kind of schedule. Well, folks, who put that schedule there? We did. We chose. to follow that schedule. We chose to get pretty busy. We chose to do all these things we have. We think that we've got to accomplish a certain amount of things to have some kind of merit in our life. We think that we have to do something or go somewhere or be somebody. And listen, folks, all Jesus is trying to teach His disciples at this point is to trust and rely on Him. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Isn't that right? So we take a look at this, and here they are. They've gotten in the boat. They've left the Pharisees behind, the ones who demand that Jesus does something so that they can believe in Him. Well, Jesus had already done so many things. They didn't really care about believing in Him. They just wanted a circus. They just wanted something to make them go, wow, that's amazing. Just like people today, right? So we're going to take a look in verse 15. Jesus says, He warns them, be careful. Watch out for the yeast of the Pharisees and that of Herod. He warns them, listen, don't get caught up in what people say and do and expect to understand what I'm in the process of doing. You can get so caught up in things around you that you miss the most important thing, right? I mean, it's easy to get distracted in this world. It's easy. Any of you have problems with distraction, by the way? I tend to get distracted. And, you know, one of the things that distracts me more than anything is something I didn't have about 30 years ago, but I carry it in my pocket now all the time. And it constantly goes off. It constantly distracts me from the things that I probably ought to be paying a lot more attention to. We can get so distracted. The disciples are so distracted because they're in the midst of something that they don't really even understand yet. And Jesus warns them, don't get caught up with the yeast of the Pharisees and of Herod. Now, what's He talking about? I mean, can you imagine Him saying that to them? They're on the boat and they're going like, oh man, we blew it. We had all this bread and we could have brought some with us. We're kind of getting hungry now. And so Jesus takes what they're thinking about and talking about and turns it to them and says, listen, don't get caught up with the yeast of the Pharisees and Herod. Yeast or leaven is added to the dough to make it rise. We all understand that. If you don't have any yeast, what do you have? Flatbread, right? Or tortilla or something. That's what you have. But here's a picture of sin or evil which corrupts. Jesus is saying, don't take those little tidbits that the Pharisees keep trying to throw in to make it sound like that we're not following God and that we're doing things in opposition to their laws that they come up with. Don't get caught up in that. Paul had commanded the church in Corinth in 1 Corinthians chapter 5. Verse 7, he says, get rid of all the old yeast so that you may be a new unleavened batch as you really are. For Christ our Passover lamb has been sacrificed. Jesus is saying to them, listen, don't get caught up in the law of what these people say you have to do. Don't get caught up in those things. Should we obey the law? Absolutely. I know each one of us in here, every time we see a speed limit sign, we go, that's exactly what I'm going to do. Not going to go above it, right? And don't start lying in church, right? Well, that's not a good place to lie. There's not a good place for any of us to lie about that. But the fact is, there's a law, and so we ought to follow it. There's a law that says we ought to wear a seatbelt, but sometimes you might not wear your seatbelt. There's all kinds of laws that are there. But we have to determine, are we going to follow what's really right, what the law says? You see, Jesus is saying, all these laws that they've come up with to add on to the law that was already in existence are just things that they've come up with. But if you get caught up in those things, it only takes a little bit to affect the whole. And that's exactly what has happened in the Pharisees. They, you know, I don't think anybody, you know, originally became a Pharisee because they wanted to be of no use. All religious and no spiritual life. I don't think any of them started as a Pharisee to do that. But that's exactly where they ended up. And that's exactly where we will end up if we don't keep our eyes fixed on what's really, really important. What is that? It's Jesus and what He's saying and what He's doing and what He commands, not what this world says is so important. And so He gives them a warning. Even though they're talking about bread and, man, we blew it. We should have brought some bread with us or whatever. He uses this warning to get their attention. And then He makes a description. Look at what Luke chapter 12, verse 1 says. Meanwhile, when a crowd of many thousands had gathered, so that they were trampling on one another, Jesus began to speak first to His disciples, saying, "Be on your guard against the yeast of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy." This is why Jesus was telling them this, because He wanted them to understand what hypocrisy is all about. What is a hypocrite? It's a person who says one thing, then does another, right? Have you ever been a hypocrite? And so have I. We've all been hypocritical from time to time. In fact, it's based on the Greek word hypokros, which means two-faced. You know, somebody came up to me one time and says, "You must not be two-faced, because if you were, you wouldn't be wearing that one." But anyway, right? No, I'm just kidding. But anyway, two-faced means it was actually a picture of the mask that the actors would use. You know, when you used to go in the theaters, you would probably see a smiling face on the wall and then a sad one. Remember that? Any of you old enough to remember those things? Okay. That's hypocrisy. Yes, as an actor, I can act like I'm happy when I'm really not. I can act like I'm sad when I'm really not. It's an act. For many of these Pharisees, it was an act. They were acting all holy and spiritual and like they really cared what Jesus said. But what they were really trying to do was trap Him in His own words. They were religious men who were outwardly religious, but inside their hearts were not changed. That's hypocrisy. In fact, Matthew 23:15 reminds us, "Woe to you, teachers of the law and you Pharisees," Jesus said to them, "you hypocrites. You travel over land and sea to win a single convert, and when you have succeeded, you make him twice as much a child of hell as you are." That's a pretty straightforward statement, isn't it? In other words, you can try to get people to obey your laws and do all the extra things that you've come up with, and you can make them look so spiritual, but it's not the right spirit. It's not the real true spirit of the law. It's all about your Pharisaical religiosity. Then look at verse 16. The disciples were confused by what Jesus said. He had just told him, "Watch out for the yeast of the Pharisees and that of Herod." They discussed this with each other and said, "Is it because we have no bread?" In other words, they were on a totally different page than what Jesus was. Has that ever happened with you? Sometimes Jesus speaks to us and we're going like, "Are you trying to tell me what is it exactly you're saying?" Jesus was, I mean, He was straightforward. And they began to discuss among themselves, "What does this mean? Maybe is He rebuking us because we didn't bring any bread with us? Or is He telling us not to buy bread from the Pharisees and the Herodians?" Because He mentions both of those. And they were confused. And confusion does not come from the Lord. Listen, folks, if you're confused, it's not because God isn't telling you the truth, because He does. He speaks it over and over and over and over again. And if you're confused, it isn't because He's confusing you, because He will not. And so they declare, "Is it because we have no bread? Is that what the deal is, Jesus? Are you mad at us because we forgot to bring some? Are you upset? Or what's going on?" They were still caught up in the physical things of life. Boy, I tell you, isn't that interesting? Because for the most part, if we don't watch out, that's really all we think about. We think about the physical things of life. What are we having for supper? Where are we going? You know, how are we going to get to what? You know, and we ask all these physical questions. But it's really not what life is about. Now, it's okay to know what's coming up for supper. I mean, it kind of is nice sometimes. But that's not the deal. What is it that God is trying to do inside of us? They were still caught up in that physical thought, you know, about the bread. He mentioned bread. And Jesus was addressing the spiritual things of their life. He was telling them the most important thing is to know what God wants in your life. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 33, "For God is not a God of disorder, but of peace, as in all the congregations of the Lord's people." In other words, God is not trying to confuse anyone. He's not trying to stir anything up. What He's trying to do is share His truth and then see us walk in His truth. You see, because if God says it, that's what we ought to do. Amen or oh me? Amen. If God says that we ought to do this, that's what we ought to do. But not because we are trying to show ourselves to be holy between other people so they can see that I did what God said. That's the wrong motive, right? Our motive is to honor and please and exalt Him. Because everything He tells us and commands us to do is to bring ultimately glory back to Him where it certainly belongs. And so they still didn't get it, right? They didn't quite understand what Jesus was saying. And so look at what verses 17 through 21 say. It says, aware of their discussion, Jesus asked him, "Why are you talking about having no bread? Do you still not see or understand? Are your hearts hardened? Do you have eyes but fail to see and ears but fail to hear? And don't you remember when I broke the 5 loaves for 5,000? How many baskets of pieces did you pick up?" 12, they replied. "And when I broke the 7 loaves for the 4,000, how many basketfuls of pieces did you pick up?" And they answered, 7. And He said to them, "Do you still not understand?" In other words, they were still focused on the bread. They were still focused on not having bread on the boat as they made this trip across the Sea of Galilee. And when he questions them, and he asks them, why are you still talking about no bread? By the way, they had a loaf with them. The Scripture tells us that. Was that enough for all of them? Look at what Jesus says. "Hey, don't you remember when I broke 5 loaves for 5,000? And how many basketful of pieces did you pick up? 12. And when I broke the 7 loaves for the 4,000, how many basketful of pieces did you pick up?" And they said, 7. Did they so quickly forget where they'd just been and what God had just done? Isn't that like us? Sometimes God does an amazing, miraculous thing in our lives. And man, for just a little while, we're so excited and it's amazing and we talk about it. But, you know, a week later, we're in need and we don't even look to God. We try to figure out how we're going to get this done. He certainly could have fed them with the 1 loaf or even with no loaf, by the way. He could have made bread out of nothing. Because He made everything else out of nothing. All Jesus has to do is speak the word, and it happens. Because He is the word. And so He questions them about this, and He says, "Man, guys, do you still not understand? This is not about the physical. Jesus didn't come to this earth just to heal sick people. Jesus didn't come to this earth to make blind people see. Jesus didn't come to this earth to walk on water. Jesus didn't come to this earth to do any of those amazing miracles that He did. And He did many. Brought people back to life. All cast out demons. Did all these other things. He did so many amazing, unbelievable things. But that's not why He came. Why did Jesus come to this earth? When somebody asked him this, this is exactly what He said to them. I came to seek and to save those that are lost. Did He heal people? Yes. Did He bring people back to life? Yes. Did He walk on water? Yeah. Did He do amazing, unbelievable, no way you could even explain it kind of things? Absolutely yes. But that's not why He came. He came to seek and to save those that are lost. The disciples didn't quite get it yet. I dare say that they were probably much like us. We don't quite get it sometimes. Because, honestly, how long have you been going to church? Just think about it. Think about it in your own mind. How long have you been going to church? How many messages have you heard during that time? How many Sunday school lessons have you sat through? How many different people have expressed God's importance of the gospel in your life? And then compare that with where you are. Where we are. Are we sharing Jesus Christ with people around us? Are we telling people the most important thing that God has told us to do? Awful quiet in here. Because we know that it's so easy for us to get distracted. We are a very distracted people. You know, they'd like to come up with terms to talk about kids who don't follow the rules or kind of get whatever, and they come up with ADD or whatever, ADHD and all. They come up with all these terms, but the fact is, listen folks, we are all a little bit ADD when it comes to fulfilling what God has called us to do. We get distracted. We get torn away from what God wants in us. We're just like them. He has come through for us countless times. It seems that when we come up against the problem, we panic and we don't know what we should do. There's many times in my own life I think, oh man, what's going to happen? What are we going to do? And my very faithful wife will look at me and go, hey, why don't you ask God? I'm going, novel idea. You know, I should be doing that all the time. When we are afraid or we're in doubt, we should seek the Lord. Amen? Psalm chapter 121, I love this passage, says, I will lift up my eyes to the mountains. Where does my hope come from? My help come from? My help comes from the Lord. He's the maker of heaven and earth. He will not let your foot slip. He who watches over you will not slumber. Indeed, he who watches over Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. Listen, folks. God is watching over you even now. No matter what you're facing, no matter what struggles might be in your pathway, no matter what you've been through, no matter how tragic it may seem, God is watching over you right now because He cares for you more than anyone else could ever care for you. He loves you to the core. See, these disciples didn't quite get it yet. And so they're all worried about this bread situation. And they're trying to make sense of what Jesus is talking about. And Jesus is literally just simply saying to them, listen, you can get caught up in being hungry or loaves or whatever else. But you got to make sure you're not getting caught up in what the Pharisees and ultimately what Herod says. And we'll see a little bit of that in a moment. Don't get caught up in those things. Because those are just things. Instead, look at what God is doing. Look at what has been happening. Look at how He supplies all of our needs according to His riches by Christ Jesus. And so He wants them then to open up their spiritual eyes. I think a lot of times we look at things with just our physical eyes. We don't see beyond that. You see somebody doing a certain thing and we go, man, that's terrible what they're doing today. And we can be judgmental and we can talk about it and all that kind of stuff. But, you know, why is that person doing that? Maybe there's a spiritual issue. More than likely, there is a spiritual issue that's going on in that person's life. And like I said a while ago, God is always at work. Always at work. He's at work in your home life. He's at work in your work life. He's at work in your travels. He's always at work. He's never going to leave you or forsake you. That's His promise. And the reason is because He loves you so much. And He wants to do His work through you and through me. And the only way that can happen is when we choose on a daily basis, moment by moment, to step out of the way and allow Him to do what He wants to do in our lives. The disciples, they were thinking purely about themselves. What did we miss, Jesus? Where are we headed? What do we need to do? Man, we forgot bread. What, you know? And all they were thinking about was them. And Jesus made this statement to them of, don't get caught up in the leaven of the Pharisees and of Herod. It's just too easy to focus on just this world. You see, folks, I don't know about you, but if you watch any kind of news, which I try not to watch too much of it because then it just irritates me. But if you watch any kind of news, you'll see that things on this world are just skyrocketing and becoming great, right? No. The things of this world are going the exact opposite way. Farther and farther and farther away from worshiping God. In fact, many people in this world don't believe there is a God. Or they say they don't believe there is a God, but they worship one God themselves. And by the way, people make terrible gods. Amen?
Amen?
We must pray for the wisdom of God. We must pray for Him to show us what He wants in our lives. It doesn't say anywhere in this passage that the disciples thought, oh, wait a minute. Maybe there's something spiritual. As Jesus has been talking to us over the past few months and almost a year now, maybe there's something spiritual about this that He's talking about. Not a one of them made that assumption or assessment. They just simply said, oh, we don't get it, God. Were we supposed to bring more bread? Did we mess up? But, you know, and they were so frustrated by that. They weren't thinking about the wisdom of God. Now, let me just make a little statement in here. He mentions the leaven of the Pharisees. Jesus had already talked to them about the Pharisees multiple times, trying to let them know that the Pharisees were only interested in the law itself and not the lawgiver. They felt the way that they could make themselves good enough for God was to follow every single law. But the problem is, no matter how hard you try to follow every single law, you'll never make it. And secondly, they'd come up with extra laws that they had enforced upon everybody else. 613. On top of all the laws in Scripture. You see, that's not what it's about. If we could truly follow all the laws, we wouldn't need a Savior. We would never mess up. We would never sin. But that's not what the Pharisees were about. And so the leaven of the Pharisees is trying to put into you this little thought. What is leaven? What is yeast? It's just a little bit of stuff you put in the bread, and what does it do? It makes a little piece of bread become a big piece of bread. Right? The little things, the little foxes, they destroy the harvest. The little things. And Jesus said, don't get caught up in this. And then he says, and of Herod. Now, where did Herod come in on this? Well, ultimately, at the point when Jesus is taken in front of Pontius Pilate, and Pilate's trying to talk to him and find out why he should be put to death. What does Pilate do? He finally punts and he says, you know what? I'm going to send you to the guy that's over me, Herod. And he so sends him to Herod. So what does Herod do? Herod goes, oh, sounds like one of these Pharisees. Why don't you show me a miracle? If you show me a miracle, then I'll let you go. What did Jesus do? He said nothing. And Herod goes, oh man, I was hoping you'd walk across my swimming pool or something. Come on, you know, do something. Jesus didn't. Because he's not caught up in the yeast of Herod. And he's not caught up in the yeast of the Pharisees. He's not going to do that. You see, with our spiritual eyes, we must pray for the wisdom of God. If we see things from any other perspective, it's not going to be good. Even a couple of years later, by the way, the disciples are still struggling to trust in the words of the Lord. And you might think, how is that possible? They're with Jesus every day. They get to see Him. They get to watch what's going on. They get to listen to His words. And how could they not get it? Well, let me ask you a question. How long have you been walking with the Lord? Some of you, decades. You still not get it sometimes? Sometimes I feel like one of those people that they shoot bullets at my head and they go, pershing, and just pop off. You know, sometimes I just don't get it. So when Jesus tells them He must go, but that He will send a comforter to be with them later on. He says, I'm going to leave, but I'm going to send you the comforter. What did they do? Go, oh, great, good idea. No, they're like going, no, you can't leave us. What are we going to do? How are we going to make it without you, Jesus? We've left everything. You remember them telling us? We left everything to follow you. And then you tell us, you're going to be leaving us? Look at what John 14:12 says. Very truly I tell you, whoever believes in me will do the works I've been doing. And they will do even greater things than these because I'm going to the Father. Now how could that possibly be? Because Jesus had done so many great things. It's unbelievable to even think about all the things that He did in those short 3.5 years that He was in ministry here on this earth. But listen, folks, you know why He said that? Because when Jesus goes to the Father, guess what we get? We get the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit that will come and dwell in us. And by the way, here's the best part. He will never leave us. And each one of us will be empowered by the Holy Spirit. When Jesus was alive, He did all this ministry in about a 30-mile area. Is that where the disciples were supposed to stay? No, what did Jesus say? I want you to go. I want you to go. Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and then to the uttermost parts of the world. Even Craig, Colorado. When we first moved here in 2000, somebody said, it's not the end of the world, but you can see it from here. Then I found out the end of the world was dinosaur. But the fact is, folks, listen. God has us right where He wants us to be because there are people that live here in this community, in Maybell, in Dinosaur, in Meeker, even in Steamboat, that need to know Jesus. They're without Him. They're lost. And they have no hope without Him. Jesus said, greater things than these will you do because I'm going to the Father. Why? Because Jesus is the what? Bread of life. They were talking about bread. He brings it all the way around full circle and says, listen, we're not talking about physical bread. We're not talking about physical anything. We're talking about spiritual. He said, I'm the bread. If people eat of me, they will never hunger again. If you know Jesus, you don't have to go looking for anything else. He is everything that we need. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I just come to you this morning and I just praise you for the truth that's in your Word, because when we truly, by your Spirit, listen to what you're saying, it starts to make sense. It starts to fall into place. Because, Lord, you certainly care for people. There's no doubt about it. Their physical needs, you do. In fact, your Word tells us in Matthew chapter 5 that not a sparrow falls to the ground without you noticing it. And that every need that we have, you will supply it. Lord, I know you care about our physical needs, but Lord, it's really not that important. What's more important is the glaring most important thing, and it's our spiritual need. And if it's that we're lost, we need you. And if it's that if we're saved, we need to tell people that are lost about you. People need to know. They need to know how much you care. They need to know what you truly did for us. And it wasn't just to walk around in a 30-mile radius and heal people physically. It was to understand that you came for one specific purpose. That He who knew no sin became all sin for us so that we may be made right with God. Lord, you came, the bread of life, the bread of true life, so that we could eat of you, as you told the disciples at the last Passover. And you made a new covenant. You said that if anyone would come to you, they would have everlasting life. Father, today there may be some who are caught up in this world's philosophy and in the practices of this world, and they're missing the whole point, just like these disciples were missing the point. Later on, they finally got it. So much so that almost every single one of them died while they were preaching the gospel. Lord, I pray for anyone who needs to trust you today, they would simply do that right now, in the quiet of this time, moment. You just say simply, dear Lord, I need you. You are the bread of life. You are the one who came and gave everything for me. And I realize today that when you died on the cross, you just didn't die physically, which you did, but you died to pay for my sins.
You became my sin on the cross. And the penalty for my sin and every other person's sin was poured out upon you. And you took the judgment. You made the payment. You who knew no sin became sin for me. So Lord, I come to you and trust you. Ask you to forgive me. I turn to you. You are the bread of life. Maybe you're here this morning and you've not trusted the Lord as your personal Lord and Savior. There's no greater time to do it than today. Today is the day of salvation. I'll be here at the front in just a moment when we have this time of invitation. And if you'd like to speak to me about it, I'd love to help you understand how to trust Him as your Savior. Maybe you're here and you're looking for a church home, a place where you can grow in the fellowship of Christ. We'd love to have you. Maybe you just want to come and kneel at this altar. Say, Lord, I don't want to be so consumed by the things of this world that I miss what you're saying to me every day. Whatever it is that God might be speaking to your heart this morning, I'll be here at the front as we stand and begin to sing this hymn of invitation. If God has spoken to you, I'll be here.